As always, it's good to be back at Home Baptist Church. We would desire your prayers during this time for Northside Baptist Church. A couple of our men, Jimmy Cannon and Jeff Short, are taking care of services for us today. We'll be traveling back this afternoon, and we'd appreciate your prayers as we travel. This is an anniversary of sorts for me. Probably nobody else here, even my wife, remembers the exact date, but 35 years ago today, I surrendered to preach. And it's longer than some of you all been alive, I know, but I remember that day well. And I remember the months leading up to it. The sleepless nights and the arguing that, not me, it's got to be somebody else, but it was me. And I'm thankful for the years, the 35 years that the Lord's allowed me to be in the ministry. And the men that I've known through the years, including Brother Don Titus, who've had a positive influence on the ministry of my life. And many of those men are in glory at this time. And for some reason, the last week or so, I've been told that I'm one of the older preachers now. I don't know how to take that in a way, but then you stop and look and think about it. Many of the men that we considered older preachers were younger than I am now when the Lord called me. And so I guess I'm have to put up with being one of the older preachers, or you do, for a while, till the Lord calls us home, which, the way the world's shaping up, I think we're all going to go pretty soon. But we don't know how bad the world will get, or what the Lord will allow us to go through before He takes us home. Our responsibility is to be ready. We'd ask you this morning to turn to the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read verse 29, and this verse will be our outline this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. It says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." He begins this verse of Scripture by saying, "Happy art thou, O Israel." I want to liken this to, "Happy art thou, O child of God." And in this verse, I believe we have the hope that God has instilled in us as the saved children of God. As we look around the world today, in this nation that we live in, and the freedoms that we've had, and the freedoms that are guaranteed in our Constitution, that many who are in power at this time would erode those freedoms and those rights to shape them towards their sinful thoughts. Yet at the same time, we need to take our focus off so much of what the world is doing and what God has done for us, what He's doing for us, and what He shall do for us. Happy art thou, O Israel. The word happy here is a plural word that means blessed. Blessed are we, the children of God. We're blessed beyond measure. We're blessed beyond the comprehension of our minds. We're blessed in so many ways, in so many times, we don't take the time to even think about the blessings of God. This verse of Scripture gives us many of those blessings. In Psalms 2 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord." We who are saved here today, we have put our trust in the Lord. We did that when we were quickened by the Spirit of God and confessed our sin before Him and acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior. We put our trust in Him. Many times we do not act as though we are trusting Him. We act as though we're trusting in the things of this world. And I'm not saying that we should not be concerned with the things that go on around us. We should be. But they shouldn't take the place of the hope and the happiness that we have in He who has saved us by His grace. We are blessed, as we said, beyond our comprehension as the redeemed children of God. We don't know what a day may bring as far as the events of this world. I recently heard a man preaching, and he made a statement that I thought was kind of, well, not exactly scriptural. He said he believed in predestination, but he wasn't a total predestination. In, you know, that's kind of contradictory. I realize that as we go through this world, and that many of the events that we will encounter this day, we haven't planned, we haven't purposed, but it's all mapped out before the foundation of the world. I agree, God did not map out and purpose for us to sin. But He knew each of our lives. He knew each circumstance that would come into our lives. And He says, "Happy art thou, O Israel." Blessed was Israel when they were taken out of the slavery of Egypt and led through the wilderness and up to the promised land, and then spent the next 38 years wandering in the wilderness because 10 of those 12 spies didn't have the faith that Joshua and Caleb did. They didn't trust the Lord's word saying, "Go in and I will drive out your enemies." They said, "No, these people are giants. They're stronger than us, and we just can't face such an enemy." We do that in our lives every day. There's many enemies that we face that are much larger and much stronger as far as this world is concerned. But as you look at this verse of Scripture, again he says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." You see the victory that God promises here in this verse? We can't face this world on our own. We can't begin to face the enemy of this world in our flesh. But He who we trust in, we can face all the enemies of this world. And as we face the enemies of this world, physical death may be the result. But who has the victory? We do. Happy are those whose God is the Lord. Let's look at a few verses in Psalms for a moment. Psalms 144. In verse 15 to start with, Psalms 144 and verse 15. The Bible tells us here He says, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know, there's so many people that I run into in this life today who claim to be Christian, claim to be the children of God, but yet it seems as though their chins are dragging the ground because they're tied to this world. Their hope is when what this world has to offer at this time, rather than claiming the promises of God, that no matter how evil this world gets, no matter how trying this world gets, we're to be a happy people because we have the ultimate victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in glory, not this world. We've gone from having no hope in this world to having eternal hope. Look over a page here or so in your Bible to 146th Psalm and verse 5. He says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We've heard a lot over the last year about restoring hope to this world, to this nation. And from my viewpoint, we've lost hope. There's no hope in the things that are about to develop in this nation. There's no hope in setting the enemy free on our soil. Those who are attempting to destroy our nation, there's no hope in letting them free. But if we just looked at those, at that aspect of the world today, we'd be in doom and gloom. But we have the victory. We have the happiness. We have the hope. Do we ever take the time to stop and just meditate upon the hope and the happiness and the blessings that our Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us, is bestowing upon us, and shall bestow upon us? In our text verse, the next phrase, he says, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? We're saved by the Lord. You say, well, what are we saved from? Some just think that the only thing we're saved from is the lake of fire. And we are. But there's much more to salvation than just being saved from eternal condemnation. We're saved. And in this world, as this verse of Scripture shows us, we have victory over this world. Not in ourself, but in He who has saved us. He is our strength. He is our might. He is our sword. He is the one whom we must charge through this world with. We don't charge through this world in arrogance in that, but in confidence. Confidence. You know, and we've all been around people who are arrogant in their profession. I question whether they are saved, because arrogance is not a part of God's attributes. But we are showed confidence. We're to show surety in our life. We're to show forth that we have blessedness in our life, that we have a sure hope in our life, that this world can do anything they so desire to this old physical body. But he says, remember one thing, they cannot destroy our soul. Fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And he is it that has saved us. He is the one who has given us hope. He is the one whom we must place our happiness in. He's the one we must place our future in and not be tied up to what this world is all about. But we know the end of this world. We know, if you've done any studying in the book of Revelation, you know what's coming for this world. And you know that we're not going to be here for it. But those who are trying to plan our life will be. And they will suffer beyond their comprehension. We know during that time many of them will cry and beg to die, but they will not be able to. Many will die. There's not another group of people upon this earth like the children of God who have the surety of salvation, who have the surety of the future, who have the surety of eternal hope. There are a lot of people who profess to be Christian in this world. There's a lot of other religious people in this world who proclaim that they have the answer for eternity. There's other groups who believe that they just keep being recycled into this world. There's no hope in that. There's no hope in that. Well, we have the surety that when we leave this world, we're going to be with the Lord forever. We're going to be in the presence of He who has saved our soul. And when we stop and think about that salvation, it's just not that He reached down and saved us, but He came to this world to purchase our salvation. He came to live and to die and to suffer the elements of this world, to suffer at the hands of man and then become sin for us. Oh, how blessed we are. And He tells us also, as we pass through this world, don't worry about the things that are necessities of this world. He says He knows we need them, and He's going to supply them. David said that he's been young and he's been old, but he has never seen the children of God begging bread. In other words, God takes care of His children. He's going to take care of us. In the world we live in today, people want the government to take care of them. God is my carekeeper. We are a people who've been saved by the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, says, "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." When we acknowledge our salvation, we've been saved by the grace of God. But our salvation will be completed. Not if we die and go to heaven, but our salvation will be completed when the trump sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and they get that glorified body, and then we'll be changed in the twinkle of an eye and receive those glorified bodies. Then our salvation will be completed. We're We're waiting for that day, and this, I believe, is what Isaiah is telling us here. We have that hope. We have that blessed hope. And no one can take it from you. When I was in college several years ago, one of the professors told us, make sure you get your education. Because at that time there was still a supposed threat of the communist. He says, because if communism takes over, that's one thing they can't take away from you. What good's an education? What's good if you got a PhD if you're sent in a prison cell somewhere? Doesn't make any difference where you're at. If you're saved, you're saved. And no one can take it from you. That's the most important thing. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the most important thing that could happen to you in this lifetime. That you're saved by the grace of God. Then you can say here, happy are the children of God. You don't know true happiness until you've been saved by the grace of God. You don't know true happiness. You won't know true love until you've been saved by the grace of God. You say, why did God save Israel? Why did he take them out of the bondage of Egypt? Why, they was a stiff-necked people. They're always complaining. They're always grumping. You know, if God's our Savior, how come we're living like this? Or after they left, let's take us back to the Egyptian bondage. There we had our onions and our leeks and we had our meat and everything. How come? But yet, God's people should be the happiest people upon the face of the earth when you give thought to what he's done for you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in that verse that he is the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? The shield, or the protector of the helper of God's children. Here again in the Psalms, in the 33rd Psalm, we find words in verses 20 through 22. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 20, he says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. A shield, we understand, it's a protector. It's a barrier. You know, most policemen today will wear armored vests when they go out in their patrols. What's that for? Body armor. It's to protect their body. It's a shield. When Aaron was in Iraq, they issued the soldiers now body armor. That's not a guarantee, we know from death, but it's a protector. It shields the vital parts of your body. The Lord is our eternal shield. Satan can't reach that soul. The best example you can see of that is read the first two chapters of the book of Job. Satan hasn't left us alone, but he can't reach our souls. We have a shield. We have a protector. Our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. He is our shield. He is our protector. He's our sword. There are many storms that we face in life. There's many enemies that we'll face in life. But we have a shield. And we have a sword. A shield protects your body. The sword is your offense. We know from in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, he talks to us about whole armor of God. Study through that sometime and just think about what he describes there as that whole armor of God. You know why we have problems many times in this life? We don't have our armor on. We don't have that whole armor of God on. We possess them, but we don't necessarily use them. As we walk an upright and a holy life, the Lord helps us and is our shield. Psalms 84 and verse 11. Psalms 84 and verse 11. The Bible tells us here. He says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright." He will not withhold anything from them that walk upright. The closer we walk to the Lord, with the Lord, the more we're going to have that armor on. The more we're going to recognize that shield before us. The more we're going to recognize the sword that he swings towards our enemies. Psalms 28 and verse 7. Psalms 28 and verse 7. And we also, as we pass through life and we read the Bible, and we know that he tells us in Romans 15 and verse 4 that everything was written aforetime was for our learning. And you can see, like in the life of David, when he was sought after by Saul, that there was times that he found himself in the midst of the enemy's camp. But God's shield and sword was before him. Saul never touched a hair of David's head. Psalms 28 and verse 7, he says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise thee." If we were to be corralled by the enemy today and put in prison, could we be like Paul and Silas? Could we sing praises to our God? Could we, before the enemy, those who are seeking to kill us, could we praise God? And what happened to the enemy, or the, you might say, the officer of the enemy at that time? God saved him. God saved the Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas were shackled to the walls of the prison. So he said, you know, we face all kinds of adversity in this life. We're going to. But as we look in 1 Peter in chapter 5, we have the promise here of he who is our shield and our sword. Bearing in mind, God knows. He knows exactly what we're facing each and every day. But part of our faith, part of our hope, is to bring those things he already knows before him, that we let him know that we know he's aware and that he's the only hope that we have. He's our shield and he's our sword. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But God of all grace, or the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Again, when you look at the first two chapters of Job, and then read what all of his so-called friends brought to him, and then his conversation with God directly, and then look at the end of Job's life, you can see all this unfolding. You can see when Job cast all his cares on the Lord, just as he did initially when he lost all that he possessed and lost his children and then lost his health. At that time, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken the way. The Lord brings good and the Lord brings evil in our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But then, as time progressed, sitting in his misery, he began to complain a little bit. But there was one thing, as you'd study through Job, that he never lost sight of. That was his Savior. Even in the depths of his misery and the depths of his sinning, because it was sin, it's sin when we complain against God, he said, oh, he cherished the day that he'd see his Redeemer face to face. But cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon him who is your shield, who is your sword. And as he says, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Your enemies, the sin that's in this world, the enemies of God, those who would distract us from our hope, those who would distract us from the blessings that we receive from God. He says, they'll be found out liars. Don't worry about what they tell you can or cannot do. They may take some of our freedoms from us, but we still have our salvation. We still have our hope, and they will be found liars. And thought come to me when Brother Dan was teaching this morning about sin and those who make excuses for sin. Doesn't make any difference what you call sin or how you excuse sin. God's already judged it. It's already judged. This book, sin is judged. God says it's sin. But on the other hand, when God says we have hope and we have blessedness, we have hope and we have blessedness. It's sure. It's sure. And our enemies shall be found liars. After we pass from this world, Satan will not accuse us anymore. There will be no more accusations against us. He will accuse us in this world continuously, but not when we depart. Our God is always there to defend us from our enemies. And he will never allow more to come into our life than what we can handle. You know, you can think back sometimes about how this world is shaping up. And if you allow yourself, you can be envious of those who've lived years ago and didn't have to experience some of the things that we are today and some of the things we shall. But God put us here at this time for a purpose. As those who have hope, those who have the blessedness of salvation, we're the light of the world. And whether we realize it or not, we're always a positive or a negative influence on everyone we come into contact with. My desire is to be a positive influence, but at the same time, I know I'm not always a positive influence, because I still dwell in this old flesh. But I can be thankful that God has saved me. He's put that hedge upon my heart. Satan can't touch my soul. God is my shield. God is my sword. And I can cast all my cares upon Him, and He careth for me. Satan's going about this earth as a roaring lion. I had a conversation with an individual just recently. Well, it was brought to my attention. This individual made a statement that Satan was everywhere in this world. I says, no, Satan's not omnipresent. Satan's confined to one place at a time. The reply to this individual was, well, Satan's evil and evil's everywhere. Evil's everywhere, but Satan's not. Satan probably doesn't have any interest in any of us here, individual. We're not high enough on the totem pole. But he has demons to go around. He does influence this world. And we are to call upon He who cares for us. We have the victory. Those who lie against the children of God are the enemies of God. And they shall submit unto Him. The enemies of God will submit unto Him. Psalms 81 and verse 15. Psalms 81, verse 15, the Bible tells us here, it says, the haters of the Lord should be submitted themselves unto Him, but their time shall have endured forever. The haters of God should have submitted themselves unto Him. They won't at this time, but they will. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's going to take place. In the meantime, blessed are the people that God has saved. We have everything this world could offer. I'm not talking about all the things of this world, but we have more than what the material things of this world could offer, because we have eternal life. He says, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now he's talking about his enemies. God will tread upon their high places. When the end of time comes, this world, claimed by our enemies at this time, will be ours. It's God's. He's going to purify it with fire. It's going to be new heaven and new earth. And it's going to be ours with Him. We're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has created this world for Himself. He saved a people for Himself. He's going to purify this world for Himself. He's going to dwell as the King in Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. He's going to be the Lord of glory, and we'll come in. We'll dwell in that city with Him, and the nations of the world will come in and bring their glory into Him. It's His. And it's ours. In Him. And the enemy will submit. It's going to be wonderful that day. And we don't know exactly how this world's going to shape up before we leave. Well, we know from Revelation when the Antichrist rules this world and he has his 10 kingdoms, it's more or less like 10 districts upon this world, and his 10 kings, and they come down towards to try to destroy Israel, and the Lord comes back on that white horse and we behind him is the army from heaven. And you know, when you look at that, we aren't going to have to fire a shot. The sword of the Lord's going to destroy them all. The battle will be over. Satan will be loose for a season at the end of that 1,000 years. But I don't think it's going to be a long battle. And this Lord's going to purify this world. And we who are saved by His grace, we who are His children, will dwell with Him forever in a perfect, glorified body, like unto His, with perfect understanding. You know, there's many times somebody will come up to me at church and they'll say, "Brother Cummins, put this person on the prayer list." And if they don't hand it to me on a piece of paper, by the time I get back up front, 90% of the time or more, I've forgotten who they said. Sometimes they even forgot they told me. But if they hand it to me on a piece of paper, I've got it. But it won't be like that. We'll have a perfect mind. When He tells us, when He teaches us, it won't be like we have to have retreads all the time. We're going to know it. But at this time, we can say, we're blessed. We're happy. Because God has saved us by His grace. And He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit unto the day of salvation. Satan can't touch us. We are God's. As we turn service back over to Brother Dan this morning, our heart's desire would be that if you know not Christ, if you know not this Savior as your Savior, that you would repent and that you would trust Him and that you would have this happiness also.